Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now to some of the best TV and cinema releases for the month ahead. I'm joined in the studio by producer and director Brian Redden and freelance arts journalist Aoife Barry. You're very welcome to the programme. Listen, the first thing I want to talk about is this very sad loss in the music world. Let's have a listen to Brian Wilson. Do we have Brian Wilson? We don't. OK, we'll come back to Brian Wilson. But Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, who we said goodbye to at the age of 82, and lots of tributes coming from right across the entertainment world this morning. Am I right in saying you both saw him perform over the years? Yeah.
Yeah. Saw him in 2005 in the Marquee in Cork. I think it was the first gig in the Marquee. And I was like at that age where I was like really, and Salam really into music, but you know, I knew he was a legend, was really looking forward to seeing him, but didn't know a lot about his struggles, mental health issues. And I think seeing him on stage was quite a revelation in a musical way, in a positive way, and also in seeing the sad tragedy of a lot of stuff that had happened in his life. But everybody was, you know, so into it because of what the Beach Boys created and the kind of nostalgia around the beautiful melodies that they created, and the fact that he was in his 20s and even younger than that writing these songs that which have said so much to people and speak to people today. And you know, when I was like a DJ in like my 20s, I'd play God Only Knows and people would immediately be out on the dance floor feeling the emotion of the music. So I mean, for me, it was a mixed experience.
Well, look, that's what we have. Ryan. We'll have a quick listen to God Only Knows. We have it here.
If you should ever leave me, will life still go on? Believe me, the world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
I first saw the Beach Boys, I went to see them, I'm giving the age away now, but in 1988 I went to see the Beach Boys, but he wasn't with them then,
it's
right?
It's a long time ago.
No, it's a long time ago, yeah. So I went to see the Beach Boys, but it was the Beach Boys without Brian, and it was a weird because, you know, he fell out with them all the time.
Yeah.
They had all sorts of problems, and they'd sue him over copyright for songs, he'd sue them. He was, you know, he loved his brothers, he hated his brothers, he had all sorts of problems with the band. In 1988 they toured without him, I went to see it. And it was interesting, but it was like a Beach Boys cover band almost, because I hadn't got his voice. So when eventually he made up with them and rejoined them in 2011, 2012, he toured again. He finally toured with them again, and I went to see him then. And it was a different experience seeing the Beach Boys with Brian Wilson, because once he kicked in, particularly that song you just heard there, God Only Knows, when he kicked in, you know, at the piano singing songs and singing those melodies and the harmonies and his voice as part of the Beach Boys, you realise the Beach Boys without Brian Wilson weren't really the Beach Boys, you know. But I heard a great story about him. You know, he was quite proud of his achievements, not afraid to say it. Like, he had quite an ego, Brian Wilson. Like, that song he just played, every time he played that before he performed it, he always said, "This is, by the way, this is Paul McCartney's." Paul McCartney said, "This is the greatest song ever written." So he used to always, you know, not shy to big himself up.
Yeah.
So
he's
Don
right.
Henley
he's
from
right.
the yeah, and but a man with his talent, why not? So Don Henley from the Eagles was a huge Beach Boys fan, right? Absolutely adored the Beatles, or sorry, the Beach Boys. And he goes backstage once to meet Brian Wilson, and he has a copy of his album with him, Pet Sounds. Mm-hmm. That's his favourite album. He goes back to meet Brian. He wants Brian to sign the album. So he goes up, he goes, "Look, I'm a huge fan of yours. You greatly influenced me. You greatly influenced the Eagles. Would you sign the album?" So Brian says, "No problem." So he writes on the album, "To Don, thank you for all the great songs. Love, Brian Wilson." Hands him back the album. So Don Henley walks away and he is delighted. He's just been validated by his hero. He has his favourite album of all time signed by him. He couldn't be happier. And as he's walking away, Brian Wilson calls him back and says, "Don, come back here for a sec." And he goes, "What does he want me for?" So he walks back to him and he goes, "Give me back that album." So he takes the album back off him and he crosses out "great" and writes "good." So that's the kind of guy he was.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Listen, let's talk now about new releases for June. Is June a kind of a quiet month because it's summer?
Yeah, well, it can be. It can be in cinema-wise, definitely. Not so much with the streamers.
Territory when the mood is right, and we do have some blockbusters. But
I went to
like
see Mission Impossible last night, the new Mission Impossible. Oh. It's awful.
It's so bad. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Awful.
I mean,
absolutely
if you want a bit of
awful
entertainment for 3 hours, but you'd be very confused for the first hour because it's mainly flashbacks to the other films.
Two and a half hours of people talking about what you're about to see and what had happened before. Mm. And then there's a brilliant sequence in a plane, which I thought was fantastic.
So good.
And then there's 10 minutes of a silent movie where they're all staring at each other at the very end.
And this was the one that Donald Trump was so upset about because they were launching it in Cannes and not in
oh,
America.
Yeah,
not,
yeah. Well, look.
Oh, it's awful.
Anyway, listen, we have this 28 years later. This is the follow-up to the zombie classic of 2002, 28 Days Later. Danny Boyle's
your
film.
Favorite
no,
genre.
No, see, just not for me. But anyway, go on.
But
tell
see,
us
now,
how great
of all,
it is.
It's not a zombie film, right? So Danny Boyle is very clear in saying these are not zombies. Yeah. They're a bit like zombies.
They are.
They're flesh-eating mad people, but they're not quite. It's in a zombie genre. So it's 2002. The first one comes out 28 days later, and the premise: a great movie written by Alex Garland, directed by Danny Boyle, and it kind of revolutionised the whole zombie movie thing in that they weren't supposed to be zombies. The whole premise of it is this virus called the Rage virus. Right, which infects people and just, you know, increases your level of anger and rage, has leaked out from a lab and has infected the world. Cillian Murphy plays this bicycle courier and he gets hit by a car and he's in a coma. He wakes up 28 days later and the world has gone mad. So that was the first film. That was followed by a sequel called 28 Weeks Later, which wasn't as good and not the same people were behind it. But now here we have the third version of it with the same people behind it. So here we have Danny Boyle back directing. Agnes Garland is back writing. It's called 28 Years Later. It's not quite 28 years after the first film, but close enough. And the premise of it is literally the action takes place 28 years after the virus has been released into the public. And in this situation, a small group of survivors are living on an island. Right. And the island is connected to the mainland by a causeway, which is heavily fortified. And then this young fella, this played by Aaron Taylor Johnson, a young father and his son decide to go over the causeway into the mainland and find out if people are still infected.
That was very clever,
and then all hell breaks loose. Yeah. All hell breaks loose.
And are we to watch this?
Is it oh, definitely. It's yeah. It'll be one of the really big ones, I think, this year.
Oh, you know, great and cast. The cast, like, Ralph Fiennes is in it.
Yeah, Aaron Taylor Johnson, who's always gives great. Good book on screen, and Jodie Comer. And Jodie Comer is actually what might be an interesting film to watch before that. She's in a film called The End We Start From. And at the end, kind of, you know, part of that film involves people who kind of have to survive an, you know, apocalyptic event that happens in the world. So there's a nice kind of themes that are going on there. I don't want to spoil the ending, but it's quite similar to what happens at the start of 28 Years Later.
I love everything she's
great.
In. She's just great.
Fantastic.
So compelling
really,
to
yeah,
watch,
she really
she?
Is. I think it'll just be really, I think it'll be really good to see, you know, Danny Boyle, Alex Garland team up again. They always work really, do really great stuff.
And apparently Cillian Murphy may or may not be in it.
He's executive
he's one of the producers.
Yeah,
it,
he
right?
was in the first one, wasn't he?
Officially, it seems he's not in it. People did think he was because there was a character in the trailer with the really stunning trailer, which had this, you know, voiceover of the poem Boots by Rudyard Kipling. And there's a scene in it with a very kind of emaciated looking person who looks very scary, but bears a resemblance to Cillian Murphy. And everybody thought that was him, but it wasn't. It was actually a model from London.
Yeah, yeah.
19th of June. That's out. 28 years later. Now, this I was reading about this next one, an interview with Jerry Bruckheimer last week, the Formula One one called F1 with Brad Pitt. And he was obviously talking about how brilliant it's going to be. But he also told the story about getting insurance for Brad Pitt because he does all of the driving at 180 kilometres an hour on all of these tracks all over the world. And he was saying, you know, Jerry Bruckheimer is the ultimate marketing man, isn't it? All of the grimacing on Brad's face is for real because he was absolutely terrified in behind the wheel of the car.
Can you imagine?
What's the buzz around this?
Well, I was reading a really interesting piece. It was an interview with two of the people involved, one of whom is Lewis Hamilton, the other one is Tim Cook from Apple. And it was basically presented as this incredible branding exercise, but it's also presented as an amazing technological kind of feat. So what they did with it is they wanted to get into that Formula One car with the driver who's played by Brad Pitt. He plays a guy called Sonny Hayes, who's a former driver who gets in a big accident and then leaves the sport and then comes back and is mentoring somebody. And they wanted to show like what it's like, what it's kind of like for somebody like Lewis Hamilton to be in the car. They were filming at actual Grand Prix races in 2023 and 24. They put all the technology into it. There was some line in it about some of the technology even being used in the future iPhones as well. So it's very much tying in this kind of Apple branding, Formula One branding, big, huge, massive star. It's going to be massive on the big screen. I mean, even someone like me who's not really interested in Formula One,
I'm not either,
I think
but
we'll
I think
get
I'd
like that speed and intensity. We'll get that out of it.
And there's a game as well linked to it. So you can see how they're trying to address the drop in people going to the cinema. Just make a big thing
definitely
out of it so that we're
it'll be interesting.
All
there's never really been a good Formula One movie, so it'll be interesting to see if they actually do this. You know, racing car movies tend to be very dull, even going back to when Steve McQueen was doing it. They're just it's very hard to recreate that kind of excitement. It's a film that I'm not really interested in it at all. I have no interest in Formula 1.
Well, we'll force you to go and see it.
And then it's not really my bag.
They're going to bombard you with every single ad and every single platform.
But it doesn't look great. The trailer doesn't look that great.
I mean, it kind of looks like what you might expect from a film like this. Kerry Condon, the Irish actor, is in it, and it'll be great to see her on screen as well. Her kind of first big role. She was in another smaller film, but her first big one since The Banshees of Inisherin. So, look, I think like people were out in force to see Mission Impossible. People will be out in force to see something like this too. And people are so into things like Drive to Survive. You know, all those people love Formula One. So there's a huge audience out there for a film like this. So it's really clever. They're banking $200 million+
on
it.
We'll be swept along, kind of forced to see this one, I feel, even Brian. Brian, you want to tell us about this new thing called Echo Valley on Apple TV. Julianne Moore and Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah, you're sick of the sight of Sydney Sweeney yet. I'm sick of the sight of Sydney Sweeney.
Is this the bathwater?
I don't know.
Yeah, this is the bathwater gal. She's like the Sabrina Carpenter of really? Film.
She's just everywhere. Yeah. Absolutely everywhere. But can she act? I don't know. But judging
does
by this...
Matter?
It doesn't matter, no. But judging by this, it seems she can. This looks really interesting, right? So this is on today, actually, on Apple TV today. So it's called Echo Valley. And basically, so it's a thriller, right? And Julianne Moore plays this... so she works with horses and she's in a ranch and a farm in an isolated part of America. She's estranged from her daughter. I'm not giving anything away here because this is on the trailer. Her daughter, played by Sydney Sweeney, is a heroin addict and she's estranged from her. And she turns up on the doorstep one day and she's covered in blood and it ain't her blood. And she happens to have a body in the boot of the car. So this is all about how far the mother will go to try and help the daughter to try to cover up this crime. So it looks really interesting. It's kind of twisty-turny thriller. It's got a great Irish cast in it as well. Fiona Shaw is in it. And brilliantly, Donald Gleeson plays a bad guy in it. You don't often see him as a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's her drug dealer. He's the one who's got her hooked on heroin. He's the one who's been feeding her all this. And he might be, or he might not be, the guy who's dead in the boot of the car. We don't know. So it's basically how the mother helps her cover up this murder and the consequences of that. So it's kind of, it looks really good. It's a really good thriller. It's getting very good reviews. And it's on Apple TV from today. And interesting, it's written by the guy who wrote Mayor of Easttown, Brad Inglesby.
Which is great.
And Mayor of Easttown, remember that?
I enjoyed that.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that was
brilliant. So it's got the same kind of vibes as that.
And in fairness, Sydney Sweeney, sorry, I know we were flippant there, but she was really great in Euphoria. Yeah, so I mean, just to be like,
this thing, I should explain the bathwater thing. Apparently, they're selling soap now that has a drop of her used bathwater.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so gross. I can't believe I'm saying these words, but there's obviously a
where do you get
customer.
That? I'm just gonna know that.
I'll send you the link.
It's great branding for young actors. It's like try to get, you know, any sort of headlines, even if it is about something like
so
that. It's all
though.
Part of the game, I think. You know.
And Julianne Moore's really churning them out. I mean, she's just
she saw
Sirens, right?
Yeah, her Nicole Kidman turn.
There's an interesting twist with her. I won't give it away, but it's an interesting twist with the character. This obviously, she's estranged from her husband, played by Kyle MacLachlan, and you find out in the course of the film why she's estranged from him. But so it's kind of got nice twists and turns in it, and by all accounts, Sweeney gives a great performance in it. You know,
and how is that out now on Apple TV? So
Apple
we can
TV
go and watch that tonight.
Watch it tonight
if we wish.
Echo Valley, it's called.
So now we're on to Netflix and Titan, the Ocean Gate disaster. Oh, this is the story of the real life disaster that happened.
It is.
When the little submersible went down.
Exactly, when the submersible went down in 2023 and the globe was gripped by the story. You know, it took up a lot of attention that maybe could have been on other, you know, disasters that were happening in the globe. There's certainly a lot of layers to this. But this is interesting because a lot of times Netflix will do like a 6-part documentary series and there isn't enough, you know, in it for it to do that. So thankfully, it's just kind of a feature length documentary that it's done. And it basically, they speak to whistleblowers, former employees who worked with Oceangate, with Stockton Rush, the amazingly named creator of the company and of the submersible who died in the disaster, along with four other guests who were down there with him. And you really get this picture of someone who, you know, believes in, you know, move fast and break things, this kind of tech titan idea of just keep moving forward. I have this mad idea and I'm going to do whatever it takes to make it happen. And there's a lot of people who were really, thought that was kind of suspect and they really didn't think enough was done to actually try and protect people and keep people safe. Mm-hmm. And it does paint a really damning picture of the company and also just a really tragic picture of lives that, you know, shouldn't have been lost and were in really horrific circumstances with, you know, the lenses of the globe.
So it's not trying to airbrush him, what he was like.
Complete opposite. I mean, he does not come out of it looking good at all. And I think a lot of people have been waiting for this opportunity who worked with him to actually have their say in what they experienced. So it really dives into that. that, and it does follow this, doesn't follow the kind of like building up to disaster. It does follow this, like, how did these things happen? And let's look at the kind of technical sides of it alongside the drama.
So now we're going to move, that's on Netflix,
that's on Netflix from now, yeah.
The Ocean Gate disaster. So we've comedy next on Amazon Prime, and you're hopeful that this is going to be really good. Have you seen it? It's deep,
yeah, I
deep
have.
Cover.
It's good fun. It's on again today. It starts today. So it's a really silly kind of a romp and a farce, but it's quite lighthearted. But I saw it. It's great though. I really enjoyed it. And it's getting fantastic reviews. So basically the premise of this is that, Sean Bean is this London cop, and he's trying to infiltrate a gang of counterfeiters. These guys are selling counterfeit cigarettes. Okay. So he wants to infiltrate this ring of counterfeit cigarette guys, whatever you call that. So he employs, implausibly, the services of three improv comedians.
As you do.
Forget about the cops. Let's get improv. In his mind, he goes, okay, so you got to go deep undercover. The cops weren't being able to do it. Let's get actors to do it. Guys who can improv, and the guys who can improvise on the spot and make up characters, make up scenarios. So he goes to a comedy club and he finds three improv actors, and he tasks them with the task of infiltrating this counterfeit ring, and off they go. So they have varying degrees of, you know, of skills. So the lead one is Bryce Dallas Howard. She's good. She's great. She's a great actress. She's a American, obviously. Orlando Bloom, who doesn't often do comedy, plays one of the actors who's going to infiltrate the mob as well. He thinks he's Al Pacino, so he wants to get into character. He wants to do deep dives into his character. What am I doing? Why am I here? And then, of course, the comic foil is Nick Mohammed, who's been brilliant in everything he's ever done, and he's useless at everything. Uh-huh. So you got these three actors who go undercover, and obviously things are a lot worse than they expected. So it's a caper, it's a romp, it's a crime thriller. It's got a lot of fun in it, a lot of good laughs in it. It's nice, simple humour. Okay. You'll enjoy it, you know.
All right, well, that is a Deep Cover on Amazon Prime, out today. And then The Bear as well. We haven't time to talk about it, but it's the fourth season coming to Disney Plus later this month. I hope they haven't overdone that.
I know, that's my fear.
That's my fear.
Very
We've
quick,
enjoyed it.
Very quick turnaround, isn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, sure, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Aoife and Brian, thank you so much for coming in.